Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Football Friday. Big thanks to Michael Irvin. Joined us in the previous segment. You can check that out on the podcast. Odyssey Rewind feature as well. Download that Odyssey app if you're listening terrestrially right now. That's how you bring us with you wherever you go. Landry played this little game yesterday, Seth, that I thought was interesting. Because Davis Mills, I think Davis Mills' performance in those last five games, those last five starts, are a big reason behind a lot of what's going on with the Texans right now. I think it's fair to speculate at least that if Davis Mills had played the last five games like he played his first six games, then they might have just looked at this thing as, okay, we made almost no progress this year. Let's just roll David Culley back because it's going to be a lot of the same next year as we try to find a quarterback. But my guess is Davis Mills is going to be the starting quarterback this team, barring some blockbuster or some rookie just completely ascending up the draft charts unforeseen. It's going to be Davis Mills in week one of 2022. So Landry did this thing yesterday where the other four rookie regular starters and a few other names, a little game, would you trade Davis Mills for this person?
Right.
All right, so let's...
Straight up trade. Don't have to give anything up.
Nope. Yep, straight up trade. All right, some of these will be easier than others, I think. But let's start at the top. Davis Mills for Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence was so woefully mishandled and abused this year. And yet, it's not like Darren Bevell, the offensive coordinator, has never been an offensive coordinator. Urban Meyer had never been a head coach. But Darrell Bevell had been a coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nobody was ever all that excited about him or anything, but he did win a Super Bowl with the Seahawks.
Seahawks, yeah.
And yet Trevor Lawrence didn't really show if, like, Trevor Lawrence had been a third round pick and he had this same year, would anybody even be thinking of him as?
No, you'd say Davis Mills had a better year than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
the
that's
third
what I'm
round
torn.
Pick.
I'm not convinced that any of these quarterbacks in this class are long term going to be good quarterbacks. So I'm gonna.
I can't believe you're thinking this much about Trevor Lawrence. This is awesome.
I just was never that blown away by Trevor Lawrence to begin with.
Yeah.
And the biggest question mark about Trevor Lawrence was that he came from a very simple college scheme.
He did.
And unlike, I don't think Trevor Lawrence has the same football IQ that Deshaun Watson does.
I agree.
Deshaun Watson has a freakish ability to kind of see defenses and understand, like, the flow of the offense versus the flow of the defense and where the openings are going to be. And I don't see Trevor Lawrence with that same ability. And yet, the upside of Trevor Lawrence is still so high. All right, I would trade Davis Mills for Trevor Lawrence.
I would too, if for no other reason than I think the fan base would get excited about that. Like all of a sudden,
you
got the guy.
That's a short term.
I know, but I like that. You know me. I get excited.
Yeah, but if that's
about
all
things.
You care about is like whether the fan base gets excited, then you basically are saying,
I think he's
okay,
bad.
Then Davis Mills definitely doesn't.
I misspoke. Like that wouldn't be the only reason, but that would be if it was a tie, that would certainly be a tiebreaker. I would trade him for Lawrence. Zach Wilson. Would you trade Davis Mills for Zach Wilson if you were the
Texans? I'm not convinced that Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson are going to be just sharp enough or have like the judgment to be good NFL quarterbacks. Like, I get it. They're good throwers of the football, but are they genuinely passers of the football? Are they actually just quarterbacks, or are they guys that can run and throw?
Right.
I guess if I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence for those same upside physical skills, then I'll do the same for Justin Fields and say that, yeah, I would trade just because the upside, if it works out, could be that much better.
So, but it was Zach Wilson who I asked you about.
Oh, Zach Wilson. Yeah. Sorry, I was looking at Justin Fields on the list.
Yeah.
No. He's tiny and annoys me.
That's what I thought. I thought you'd bring up his size. But Justin...
No, listen. I don't have a problem with smaller quarterbacks as long as they got a little bit of thickness to them. But Zach Wilson's been hurt a bunch, both in college and in the NFL
now.
I don't think he's going to... He might not even be alive in four years.
He might die on the field.
Yeah.
But Justin Fields sounds like a yes.
Yeah. I'm pure upside and... wow factor, then yeah, let's go for it.
Here's the interesting one. Davis Mills. Would you trade Davis Mills? This one caused a lot of debate on the In the Loop yesterday. For Mac Jones.
Nope. I wouldn't do it. I think if Davis Mills had been in that same Alabama system and then in that same New England system, that it's unfair to say he would have been as good as Mac Jones was at Alabama, because Mac Jones had arguably the best college football season ever.
Yeah, he was incredible.
Yeah.
41 touchdowns, 3 picks, something like that.
And yet here I am saying, the kid from Stanford that didn't really distinguish himself in college.
In his three starts or whatever, I think 11 games.
I like what he did in five games at the end of the season in a lost season with the Texans, more so than what Mac Jones did. And you know what? He largely outplayed Mac Jones when the two teams faced each other.
That's true.
Stay home with your whiny tennis player temper tantrum throwing self, Mac Jones.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. I forgot Mac Jones is a gigantic baby on the tennis court, too. I forgot. I wouldn't trade Davis Mills for Mac Jones, and that's not even revisionist history. I didn't like Mac Jones for where teams – like, when there was talk of San Francisco taking him at 3, I'm like, are you crazy? Like, this dude is – like, he's just – you know, he's – he seems very average to me, like just in terms of the tools. And the fact that these Alabama guys, these Alabama quarterbacks, where everything, they're playing with first round picks all over the place. Mm-hmm. They're playing with a defense that is a first, you know, that any type of symbiotic thing about your defense and your offense needing to be in tune. Like, he's got a great defense, so that helps win games. He's got first-round picks all over the offensive line. He's got first-round picks at wide receiver. They just cycle guys through at wide receiver, running back, first-round picks. It's hard for me to look at the Tuas and the Mac Joneses of the world. It'll be interesting if this affects Bryce Young at all. Bryce Young seems like he's got more toolsy than both of those guys. But it's really hard to evaluate how good these guys can be at the NFL level when everything operates so perfectly for them at the collegiate level.
Yeah.
You know?
And yet, Mac Jones, I mean, in some respects, until he started to falter a little bit there towards the end of the season, in some respects, he was having one of the best rookie quarterback seasons ever. So it's not like the Patriots had more weaponry than last year because they spent so much money in free agency. But it's still, it's not like they were stepping onto the greatest show on turf or something like that.
They were very protective of Mac Jones. Like, he was a lot of short dink and dunk stuff. He did it. He turned some balls over. He threw like 12 interceptions, I want to say. Someone texts in, would you trade Davis Mills for a second round pick and David Johnson? That's beautiful.
What's the amount that you could trade Davis Mills for that would actually get people up in arms? I don't think anybody's there at that point. I guess if he did anything third round or later, I guess. He's in a tough spot right now just as a fan to kind of judge. All right, he was definitely better than a third round pick typically goes.
Oh, yeah.
Just based on a small sample size of the end of the year performance. Really, I'd say over his last 7 games. I think the sum total of his last 7 games.
Okay.
Which is a pretty good sample size.
Yeah.
I think it adds up pretty well.
Yeah.
So if you traded him for anything less than a second round pick at this point, you'd have to be.
The funny thing is, dude, like if someone said we traded Davis Mills for the 40th pick and David Johnson from a couple years ago when the Texans traded for him, and taking on David Johnson's whole contract,
Yeah.
You would look at that and say, that's a terrible trade. You just traded a quarterback who might be your guy for the 40th overall pick and a washed-up running back who you're paying full boat for. That is what the Texans actually traded the best receiver in football for.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you would be – I think Texan fans largely would say that's a bad trade, having traded Davis Mills for him. They traded DeAndre Hopkins for that. Oh, my God. Would you – okay, now here's another one, Seth. Would you trade Davis Mills for any of the rookies in this upcoming draft class?
No, I wouldn't, because I feel like you've already got time invested in him, and none of the rookies in this – in this draft class or slam dunks by any stretch of the imagination. Yep. So I think the fact that you've seen some promise out of Davis Mills as a third round pick on a bad team, and it wasn't just in garbage time, is frankly more than you should expect out of at least half of the rookie quarterbacks that get taken this year in the first round. He's already kind of surpassed the average performance of a first round quarterback, because most first round quarterbacks end up not being good quarterbacks. That's the fact of the matter. So whatever Davis Mills ends up being, he's already surpassed at least that meager benchmark.
Would you trade? I'll add these two. Would you trade Davis Mills for the last year of the contract of Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield?
Oh no, not this year.
Yep.
No, because I don't think that this is the year where all of a sudden. So you'd be trading away Davis Mills, who you don't quite know what he's going to turn into, to a guy that has. You'd be trading for either Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield on just for a one-year deal and then see what happens after that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Because then he might be out the door. You got a franchise tag him or pay a whole bunch of money, and it's probably not going to make – that's not going to be enough to turn the Texans into, like, a genuinely good team.
Yeah, I guess my thought with that – I totally agree with you. I just wanted to see what you would say. I guess my thought with that is if they're franchising him, it means he probably had a good enough year to be worth being franchise tagged.
Right, you know? Yeah. And I guess that's the question is, okay – I think we know the ceiling of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes.
I don't think it's fair to say we know the ceiling of Baker Mayfield.
Mayfield's the one I had to think about a little bit.
Yeah.
Garoppolo, there's no way I'd do it. But Mayfield was the one I threw in there just to go, okay, well, because I saw the video of him. He got the shoulder fixed. How much of it was injuries, you know, with Baker?
I think if Davis Mills ever had a rushing attack similar to what Baker Mayfield had 2 years ago in the 2020 season.
Yeah.
I think it would have been that much better for Davis Mills this year.
No doubt.
And I think he can. I think we've seen that he can make the throws that Baker Mayfield can throw.
Absolutely.
Beyond that, it's all like, what are you doing from the neck up?
No doubt. I mean, Davis Mills is really good. His numbers, I was looking up his numbers on the deep ball yesterday. His numbers throw, they just didn't do it enough. But he had a passer rating of 125.3 throwing the ball 20 yards or more down the field. He was really good throwing the ball down the field this year.
So if you look at Davis Mills' stats over the last 7 games, and I would, you know what, I would add the Cardinals in there, except that was pure garbage time.
Yeah.
That wasn't
they didn't score a touchdown in that game.
Or not
either.
I'm sorry. The
Rams game. The Rams game.
Oh, the Rams again. I got those transposed. I shouldn't add the Rams game because that was pure garbage time.
Yep.
So I take it back. I'm not going to add that one in there.
Okay.
Now I have to re-add everything else.
Okay. Well, you got a whole break to do it. All right.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
Too much work.
Mock draft time. If an edge rusher falls to the Texans at 3, what should they do? And what should they do in the second round? I actually have a 2-round mock draft that lays out what the Texans, if the Texans did this in the second round, how would you feel about it? We'll tell you what it is next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Good to be with you on a Football Friday. Big weekend of football coming up. We'll get to some of the games as we head towards the top of the hour. We touched on this mock draft a little bit earlier that Dane Brugler has. So far, we've done two of these this week. Mel Kiper had Evan Neal going to the Texans at 3. God, it's so nice to be able to look at these again and go, ah, the Texans have a first-round pick. Dane Brugler has Kayvon Thibodeau falling to the Texans at 3. That would be very, very interesting. Seth, in the second round, my tease here got people texting in that are going to like what I'm about to say. We got people texting in going, got to take a running back, got to take a running back. Second round, take a running back. Texans must, M-U-S-T, must take a running back in the second round, especially if we get Neal at 3, is what they're saying. Dane Brugler of The Athletic has Kenneth Walker, the running back out of Michigan State, who I don't know if people have had a chance to watch him this year. He was really good. Heisman finalist, I believe. He was a transfer from Wake Forest, and he went to Michigan State and just tore it up this year. What's the early? Forget about Kenneth Walker as just the name. Just let's assume that they're going to draft the best running back available. Whenever they come around to doing that, they're going to draft a running back at some point in this draft. I think. I don't think they're going to roll with 4 30-year-old guys again next year. I hope. What is there a certain point, Seth, that you would like to see that? What's the earliest you would advocate drafting a running back for the Houston Texans?
I think that second round is fine.
Yeah,
depending on what you think their upside is. Because the old thinking is that, you don't want to draft a good running back when he ends up being spent anyway after 4 or 5 years at the end of his rookie contract. So why waste it on a good team? I think if you do think that you have something in Davis Mills, or at least you got to develop that, then at some point in the next couple of years, you just should expect to start winning football games. That's my standard for running backs has basically been late first round or later is fine, but really only late first round if you're a good team already.
Yeah.
And they're the misty, so as Sony Michel or whomever else, like one of those types of draftings, then it makes sense. So beyond that, if you're not a good team yet, second round. And
there, that's good you bring that up, because I think in the same vein as the Laremy Tunsil thing, like we go, okay, the Texans need to trade Laremy Tunsil. Boy, it would really be nice if they got a first-round pick for them. Okay, well, then if you're hell-bent on getting a first-round pick, the only first-round picks you're going to get are teams at the end of the first round that feel like he's the icing on the cake. I think if you're putting a list together of things that only good teams should do come off-season, I think trading first round picks for expensive second contract players is one of those things. And I think drafting a running back in the first round. Like Najee Harris, I didn't have, even though the Steelers weren't great in 2020, they made the playoffs, but they were not a great team. I didn't have a big problem with them drafting Najee Harris, late in the first round. He was really good at Alabama. That's about the limit. That's about the tipping point right there. Like a fringe playoff team drafting a running back. If you're a team that's not making the playoffs, you're burning money and you're burning daylight by drafting a running back in the first round. Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610.
Somebody said, "Why does it matter?" I thought rookies don't know anything anyway. I don't know what
they're referring to Bill O'Brien.
Rookies just—they don't know anything.
Yeah, they're just. I think they're.
But what's it? Okay, I thought they were talking about me despising rookies today.
They were earlier. I think the
but those rookies do eventually become non-rookies. Yeah, so that's what. There you go. At some point, you got to have rookies to have non rookies on your roster.
Yep, yep. Eric Bieniemy is interviewing. Can we get David Culley talking about Bieniemy, Ben? David Culley was on our sister station, 610 in Kansas City, a little earlier this morning, and talked about getting let go by the Texans. Talked about Eric Bieniemy. As you can imagine, the conversation up there was very Kansas City centric. But I think a topic that a lot of Texan fans would be into is, hey, where are things at with Eric Bieniemy? He was interviewed by the Texans last year. He's not been requested this year by the Texans. He is interviewing with the Denver Broncos today, who I thought last year, if they had fired Vic Fangio, he would be a good candidate there just because he's got ties to Colorado, having been a Buffalo. But here was David Culley on his bewilderment that Eric Bieniemy has not gotten a head coaching job thus far.
It's a travesty that he hasn't, because there's been so many guys that have gotten head coaches that doesn't even touch his qualifications for the last 4 or 5 years. That what has happened.
Pause it right there for a second, Ben. Can I just interject here? Like David Culley.
Like David Culley, yeah.
Okay, continue.
Head coaches that doesn't even touch his qualifications for the last 4 or 5 years. That what has happened since he's been the coordinator at Kansas City. I mean, I've been there with him. I worked with him for 4 years. I worked with some guys that have gone home become head coaches there for number of years, and for him not to be a head coach right now boggles my mind. I have no idea why, and it is a travesty, as I said before, that he hasn't gotten a job, because he's as qualified or more qualified as the guys that have gotten in there. I have no idea, and he works for one of the all-time great coaches in this business right now, who has actually had guys on that staff go on and become head coaches before. I don't know why. I just know it's a travesty that it hasn't happened.
All right, so that was David Culley earlier this morning on a radio station on our sister station, 610 in Kansas City, talking about Eric Bieniemy. I feel like the drumbeat for Eric Bieniemy peaked in 2020. Mm-hmm. It does not feel as loud. He's getting an interview with the Broncos, but it doesn't feel like just the confusion over Eric Bieniemy not getting one of these jobs is nearly and maybe he does end up getting one of these jobs, but it doesn't feel as loud this year as it did last year.
You know, and it's interesting, though, too. I don't know why, like, what would have changed. It's still – there's still a pretty stark disparity in the number of an extremely stark disparity in the number of white coaches versus black head coaches in the NFL. So, like, even on that element of it, like, it doesn't seem like Eric Bieniemy is being held up as the standard of, like, hey, how come this black coach can't get a job? And I don't know what would have changed about that, other than that the Chiefs weren't as impressive. The Chiefs weren't as impressive offensively this year, but it's not like they were bad offensively. They just kind of – defenses figured out and found to make Patrick Mahomes – be a little bit more patient is sometimes an effective strategy. And I felt like it was Pat Mahomes more so than play calling or anything that was Patrick Mahomes' biggest issue this year.
Yeah, I wonder, Seth, with Bieniemy, I mean, this is my first thought, I wonder if there's just X number of interviews that you go on and X number of teams that you're in the mix for that ultimately say no to you to where everybody is just like, okay, well, you know, like, and whatever that number is, maybe Bieniemy's at that number. I don't know how many interviews he's had over the course of his career, but it's a lot. He's interviewed with a lot of places, and he's not gotten a job yet. And it's to David Culley's point. David Culley's absolutely right. Bieniemy's resume, other than the fact that Reed might be calling the plays, Bieniemy's resume lines up with any of these guys just fine. I wonder if he's just reached that tipping point where, hey, the numbers 10 or 12, once 10 or 12 teams just say no, that, you know, you people start to feel like, okay, well, maybe he's not that great a candidate. Maybe he doesn't interview well, whatever.
But I guess, and part of that, too, is that at some point, you know, some of those, like, teams do, whether the disparity is, you know, the disparity is a whole other conversation. There are teams that hire black coaches, you know, that obviously aren't opposed to hiring black coaches, and Eric Bieniemy hasn't been their choice.
Yeah.
So that there's more to it than just race in at least some of these circumstances.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, like, at the very least, I think you can say that. And the reports, the most, like, reported reports are about just how bad he is at interviewing. And I don't know what that looks like, or what that might entail. But it's strange for it to be notable that apparently he's turned that many people off in interviews.
Would Does Matt Nagy failing in Chicago hurt Eric Bieniemy in any way? Nagy was, I think David Culley even referred to him, but not by name. Like, other guys on that staff have gotten head coaching jobs and, yeah, you know, gone on. And, you know, Nagy failed in Chicago. For those who don't know, he was Bieniemy's predecessor as the OC under Andy Reid.
That would only make sense if so many Patriots coaches didn't continue to get jobs despite being awful after they leave the Patriots.
That's fair.
Really, yeah. You had all those you had all those coaching hires from 2014 on listed earlier.
Yeah.
And you had somebody who had graded all of them, yeah, like at the time.
Yep.
And it's amazing that like Matt Patricia got an A-. Like all these other, like, people just keep falling for it. Time after time,
yeah.
Like, oh wow, yeah, he once sniffed Bill Belichick's jock. He's going to be an awesome head coach.
Yep, A-, Matt Patricia. Yeah, yeah, we got to go through some of these old grades. We should do that in the.
Well, you remember I said that yesterday. Like usually the best coaching hire isn't in any given year isn't also the most heralded coaching hire.
Yeah,
like the most approved coaching hire. Somebody misheard me yesterday and thought that I was saying that like the least heralded coaching hire is always the best. That's not what I was saying at all. I'm saying that it's usually not like the front runner that gets it.
Well, to your point, I'll just use the class of 2018 as the example because you brought up Patricia. He was hired in that cycle, and this particular report card on CBSSports.com gave that hire an A-. The lowest grade in that whole class, a class that included Matt Nagy, Steve Wilks, John Gruden, was Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel had the worst grade out of all those. B-, dude's going to be coach of the year this year. He's done a great job in Tennessee. All right. We'll hit
B-,
some
was the lowest grade there. Remember, Hugh Jackson got an A+.
Don't spoil it. There's a few in here that we've got to get to. Yeah. There are a few in here that we have got to, like, this will illustrate the folly and the randomness of head coaching hiring and maybe make you feel better about the Texans if indeed they do hire Josh McCown. We'll get to that. We'll preview this weekend's divisional round games as well. Stay there. It's Payne and Pendergast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. All right, So we just got done talking about the coaches' report cards from previous years. This is where I know everybody's getting worked up about a head coaching hire, and that's a good thing. You know, it means people are passionate, and they've got to get this hire right. I give these numbers out to illustrate just how difficult it is to thread that needle sometimes with a head coaching hire. From the years 2014 through 2019, the NFL welcomed 42 head coaching hires into the league. So 42 new head coaches were hired in that six off-season window, 2014 through 2019. There were more coaches, 50% more coaches that lasted 2 years or less than still have those jobs right now. 14 out of 42 of those hires lasted 2 seasons or less. 9 of the 42 are still in the jobs that they're in, and all of those 9 were hired from 2017 on. So there's no coaches left in the league that were hired between 2014 and 2016. 0-21. They're all gone. The 9 that are still left, 2017, Sean McVay, Sean McDermott, Kyle Shanahan. 2018, Frank Reich, who, by the way, was like the 9th choice in Indianapolis because Josh McDaniels left them at the altar, and Mike Vrabel. And then in 2019, Zach Taylor, Cliff Kingsbury, Matt LaFleur, and Bruce Arians. So those are the 9 that are still left.
I'm looking at the grades that I think these probably match up what most people would have thought at the time. But the A grades for some of these coaching hires at the time are like embarrassing in hindsight.
Yes.
And yet it made sense for it to be an A grade then. And then likewise, some of the C's and D's were remarkably good hires. It goes to show you that you just flat out never know. I mean, some are idiotic from the start, like Jim Tomsula. That was an idiotic hire.
That got a D+.
It was and always will be one of the dumber hires in NFL history.
That got a D+, but this is the headline. I'm looking at a year's worth of report cards from a round of head coaching hires.
Yeah.
Grading the NFL coaching hires, the headline is Browns 49ers hit home runs. So you might think, oh, okay, well, that was probably the year they hired Kyle Shanahan. I mean, that was a home run. This is Will Brinson, by the way, who's covered the NFL for a long time.
No.
That would be 2016. 2016 when they hired Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly. Adam Gase, Chip Kelly got A's from Will Brinson. Hugh Jackson got an A+. An A+?
Yeah.
He went 1-31. In 2 years and was exposed just for being kind of out there on Hard Knocks. Like, you watched Hugh Jackson, you're like, all right, there's not much to this guy. Like, he seemed like a nice guy and all, but like.
The best coaching hire from that crew in 2016 would have been C+ earner Doug Peterson.
Yes.
Who himself would be gone a couple years later anyway.
But won a Super Bowl at least.
Yeah, but won a Super Bowl at least.
How about
But it
this?
Goes on. Yeah, it's amazing.
Look at that class.
I mean, like 2015, who was the best hire? Oh, Rex Ryan to the Bills, of course.
Was great. It was graded
Everybody
the best.
Knows that.
Graded
the best. Graded the best.
Yeah, it was great. The best wound up being Kubiak, who won a Super Bowl and got a C+, but was still gone after 2 years.
Yeah, Jim Tomsula got a D+.
They got that one right. They got that one right. But, man, look at that dude. Look at that class of 2016. Hugh Jackson, Cleveland, got an A+. Adam Gase, Miami, A. Chip Kelly, gone after a year. He was graded an A when they hired him. Dirk Cutter, Tampa Bay, B. Ben McAdoo, Giants, B-, as you pointed out. Doug Peterson, C+. He's actually the one guy that succeeded. And then Mike Mularkey, F. Hard to argue with that.
Okay, so now 2017 is an interesting year because these coaches were hired. Anthony Lynn to the Chargers. Sean McVay to the Rams. Sean McDermott to the Bills.
Both got B's.
Vance Joseph to Denver. Yep. Doug Marrone to Jacksonville. That was graded a D+ at the time.
Yep.
And probably a good one. Kyle Shanahan to the 49ers. So in that class, I mean, you had three guys that are still with the teams, Sean McVay, Sean McDermott, and Kyle Shanahan. Two of them have been to a Super Bowl. And even though Shanahan's only had two winning seasons in that time, he's been a good hire for them. They all got Bs. So they were all, like, there was no A signing in that season. Those guys were all kind of like, okay, I see where you're going with this. probably a good idea. I don't know about Shanahan, you know, and his play calling down the stretch in the Super Bowl, but all those guys were well-regarded.
Probably got gun-shy about giving out A's the year after you gave Hugh Jackson, Adam Gase, and Chip Kelly an A. Yeah. Like the next year, I don't know if Will Brinson was doing it. It was CBS again. I don't know if it was still Will Brinson, but whoever.
By the time they were giving out the grades, Chip Kelly would have been fired already.
Yes, Shanahan replaced him. Yeah. You know? So it's just interesting.
Oh, 2018, highest grade getter, Matt Patricia of the Lions.
Matt Patricia, let's read what they said. Let's read. It was Will Brinson again. Let's read. Boy, Will Brinson and his grades. It's an inexact science. This is what he had to say about Matt Patricia, Will Brinson, when he was hired in 2018. Another situation where it's difficult to hate on someone plucking away a coveted Belichick assistant, and it sure does feel like a pretty good fit for Patricia, who can stay away from the limelight of a city like New York while also walking into a job that features GM Bob Quinn, a former colleague of his, where, Seth? In New England, and a franchise quarterback. And God, poor Matthew Stafford. Oh, my God. So many clowns.
Wait,
he had to play.
Didn't we read some article that said that they'd never there hadn't been the Vrabel and Robinson the only matchup of two former New England?
They were
guys?
The only successful one. They're,
oh, okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah there have been several who have not succeeded.
Yeah, Pioli was there with
Romeo.
Romeo.
Yep. Patricia gets a slightly lower grade. Then McDaniels. They had given McDaniels an A for Indianapolis because he hadn't quit yet on them. He gets a slightly lower grade than McDaniels, primarily because we don't know exactly who he will be as a head coach. Although, by all accounts, he's plenty smart enough to handle the job, if not much more.
if there's one thing I'm learning, you don't necessarily want to hire a coach that these guys give an A. More times than not, these are the A's they gave out. Lovie Smith in Tampa,
yeah.
Rex Ryan to Buffalo,
yep.
Hugh Jackson to Cleveland, Adam Gase to Miami, Chip Kelly to San Francisco. These are all the A's that they started giving out in 2014.
None of them succeeded.
On up through Matt Patricia in Detroit. 2019, the A was given to Freddie Kitchens in Cleveland. Vic Fangio in Denver, Bruce Arians in Tampa. So finally we've struck on at least one A that made sense.
Okay, who needed Tom Brady to get him his A?
So over that five-year period, the last thing we need, Sean, is for the Texans to actually hit something that's well-regarded.
I'm sold. McCown. Stay the hell away from Flores. I'm sold on Josh McCown through this exercise.
Would Flores get an A from these guys?
I think Flores would get an A from some people.
Well, we can't do it then.
No. Run the hell away. Screw it. Hines Ward. I want Hines Ward as the Texans' next head coach.
You got to shoot for B's and C's for this exercise.
Yeah.
The A's never work out, man.
It's crazy. Payne and Pendergast with, Freddie Kitchens, A. Oh, my God. Holy smokes. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. We played this earlier. We've got to play this again. Because if there's ever going to be an illustration that the Texans binge-watched Ted Lasso before hiring David Culley, Seth, you pointed this out earlier. It's worth mentioning again. And this is where we tell people it's required viewing now for you to binge-watch Ted Lasso if you're a Texan fan. Because it appears as though the Texans did that before hiring David Culley. David Culley was on our sister station in Kansas City earlier this morning and was asked to give his best Andy Reid story. Here was David Culley's best Andy Reid story.
I'm a big Hershey's chocolate guy, okay? And when I was in Philadelphia, I happened to have a buddy that worked with Hershey. And he used to bring me all kinds of Hershey candy.
Nice.
And usually when he would bring that to me, and when we would have staff meetings and offensive meetings, we would sit down, and during those meetings, at some point, Andy would say, David, do you have any of those Mr. Good bars? I says, Coach, I got plenty. And I had the miniatures, and I would set those Mr. Good bars in a meeting. We would be watching videos, studying and whatnot. And all of a sudden, I would bring those miniatures in there and set them down, and it must have been 40 or 50 of them. And Andy and I would just sit there and just go through them while we're watching the video. And finally, Tammy, his wife, said something to me one time because Coach threw me under the bus about telling her it was me that was giving him all of that those Mr. Good bars. And so, but I know this, he loved those Mr. Good bars.
Okay. You know what, Seth? My first thought there, after re-listening to that, it was nice of David Culley to cover up for Andy Reid and admit that they were miniature Mr. Good bars, or at least say that. You know those were full size, Mr. Goodbars.
I don't think they were because the minis are what get you. Because it doesn't feel like, it feels like, well, this couldn't possibly be more than like 3 or 4 calories.
Armin used to get us, remember? Armin had that big candy dish in his office?
Yeah.
With those miniatures? Yeah. God, you and I would eat about 50 of those things.
Yeah, those are the dangerous ones. Yeah. I think Cully basically, he knows the path to a man's heart or a coaching job is through his belly. I think that's why he stuck around as long as he did. He was the pipeline. Tammy wasn't letting Andy Reid have the goodies.
Right.
But Cully gave it up. Cully, years and years of a relationship didn't sour the passion and the connection that those two had for Mr. Goodbars.
So as you pointed out, this is very, very Ted Lasso-like. For those who haven't seen Ted Lasso, just a little clip here from the show. Ted Lasso would do all these things that were happy, happy, joy, joy, feel-good things. Didn't know anything about soccer, but was hired as a college football coach in the States.
He was an American football coach that got hired to go coach a team in England.
Right.
But he was like super positive all the time.
Yes.
And it's and it's freakishly like David Cully
in
some regards.
Very Cully-like. Including Ted Lasso would sit down and do a thing called biscuits. They call little cookies biscuits.
The cookies they call biscuits.
Biscuits. Yeah. He'd do this thing with his...
They've butchered the English language over there in England.
They do. His boss is a woman. He would sit down with her every morning and do something called biscuits with the boss.
Knock-a-doodle-doo.
Ah, good morning, Coach Lasso.
Hey, look at us. A couple of worm-addicted early birds, am I right? Well, I'm glad I caught you. I brought you a little something.
Oh.
Yeah, cookies. Or, as y'all call them here, biscuits, right? Though I do not recommend you smother these in gravy.
Oh, Ted, I don't really...
Oh, come on, I'll take a look at there.
Oh, those do look good.
Right? Go ahead, take a nibble. That's it. Away you go.
May, where did you get these?
Well, I'm glad you like them. You know what? I'll start bringing these to you every morning. Called Biscuits with the Boss.
So that's what Cully was doing with Andy Reid.
Biscuits, Mr. Goodbars with the Boss.
It's a combination between Ted Lasso and then in Seinfeld when George Costanza was bringing
Calzones
to George Steinbrenner.
Yeah, same thing.
And he started to earn his favor that way. That's how David Cully did it.
So your creative gene started working and said that we need to create a bizarro Ted Lasso.
When I was watching David Cully tell the story about how when he came in at halftime of the Titans game, he didn't know what to say, and that his assistant coaches, I guess, apparently slapped some sense into him, said, "We got to go up tempo." And then he later divulged, like, "Golly, I never knew that going up tempo could be a game changer. Maybe we should have tried that before." It felt to me like, man, if he had just done that, if he had done the British version of Ted Lasso, which ironically would mean a British coach comes to America.
Oh my God.
And a British soccer coach comes to America and coaches football. This is what it would sound like. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know what to say, didn't I? Found myself looking at the telly, and then one of the blokes in the back said, "Hey, coach, what do you think about going up tempo?" I said, "Oi!" Yeah. Doesn't that make the whole 2021 Texans season a lot more entertaining?
Is oi?
What's that?
Is oi a British exclamation?
Yeah. They say oi a lot. Not in that exact context, but I was just trying to throw as many like British things as possible all out at once that I could think of in a 7-second sequence.
Can we just have oi as a hockey?
Oi! Oi!
Yeah.
You've never heard that, Sean?
No, I have. I know. I've heard oi before. I just didn't know if you were mixing dialects there. I didn't know if oi, you know.
That was a British thing. That was my Liverpudlian accent.
Got you. Okay. Liverpudlian. Boy, that is something. So your assignment this weekend, kids, Ted Lasso. Binge watch Ted Lasso, and you'll get a greater understanding of the 12 months that was the David Cully era. Seth, as we bow out here in the next minute or so, which of the four games are you most looking forward to watching and listening to on Sports Radio 610 this week?
The Bills and the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think that's everything.
Is that the last one?
It is.
Is that the last one on Sunday? But it's relatively early, I think, isn't it?
It is like 5:30 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Are you doing your Sunday show?
I am, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I'll be home in time for the game, and I'll have the early game on my... you know, a little upper corner of my computer screen while I'm doing a show. Always real easy to do a radio show while you're watching a football game. But yes, I am most excited, and the lineup would seem to indicate that that is what TV execs are most excited about.
Yeah.
So that's the NFL for you, man. Too small. It doesn't matter what size of the market. Buffalo and Kansas City is the most exciting game of the weekend.
Kansas City, without having won nearly the same number of championships as this team, has gone the route of the Golden State Warriors, where they were fun and fresh and charming for all of about 18 months, and now I'm sick of them. I'm just sick of them, and I'm ready for them to be squashed under Josh Allen's size 14 feet.
I think a lot of people are. And ironically, the one most hateable Chiefs-related character isn't even a player on the team. It's Pat Mahomes' brother, Jackson Mahomes. Go look him up. That'll get you angry going into the weekend. Seth, that music means we're done. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you and fair travels and all that.
Thank you very much. Thank you to all of you for listening. In the Loop, they're up next. We'll see you on Monday, 6 a.m. If you want to tune in on the Odyssey app, I'll be on 1 to 5 on CBS Sports Radio. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Call Biscuits with the Boss.
I know this. He loves those Mr. Good Bars.
Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy.
Oy!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.